Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Connie reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, August 20, 2020. Dedication, MPD to unveil Heidelberg Highway sign, by Caitlin Randall. The Midland Police Department today will unveil the Nathan Heidelberg Memorial Highway sign in honor of the officer who was killed on duty March 2019. The unveiling is this morning at the MPD training facility, according to a press release from the City of Midland. Midland County Commissioners designated Farm to Market Road 307, which begins after Interstate 20 and ends at State Highway 137, as Nathan Heidelberg Memorial Highway in September 2019. The approval of the Commissioners Court was needed because the road is in Greenwood. The location was chosen because it's near the MPD firing range, as well as property owned by Heidelberg's family, according to a previous Reporter Telegram article. Funding for the highway was raised by MPD and the Memorial and Midland Odessa Transportation Alliance. Heidelberg was allegedly shot and killed by homeowner David Wilson on March 5, 2019, while responding to a burglar alarm call. Wilson told police at the time that he mistook Heidelberg for an intruder. Wilson, president and CEO of Unitex Oil and Gas, was indicted by a Midland County grand jury on a charge of manslaughter, a second-degree felony, in May of 2019. He faces 2 to 20 years in state prison if convicted. His trial was expected to take place this summer, but was delayed after Governor Greg Abbott suspended jury trials amid the coronavirus pandemic. Jury trials were permitted to resume in Texas on August 1st, but a date for Wilson's trial has not yet been set, according to District Attorney Laura Nodoff. While dates have been discussed, nothing has been formalized because there are other individuals in custody at the Midland County Jail who will need to be tried first, Nodoff said. Wilson was released on $75,000 bond shortly after he was arrested. Heidelberg was an officer with the MPD for 5 years. Chief Seth Herman previously said in a statement. We have lost not only a great officer, but a loving brother and the most positive example of what we should all aspire to be, Herman said in the statement. I wish I was more like Nathan. The unveiling ceremony will take place 11 a.m. today at 4214 FM 307. Politics. District 2 candidate wants to enrich students, empower teachers, by Stuart Doreen. Rachel Davis wants to take her volunteer spirit to the Midland ISD board. The PTA mom has signed up to represent District 2, which is generally portions of Southeast and South Central Midland schools. Schools in the district include Franks Elementary on the north side, DeSalva Elementary, Midland High, South Elementary, Travis Elementary, and Midland Freshmen. The current district representative is Robert Marquez, who is seeking another 4-year term. Davis's platform isn't complicated. She wants to create an environment that enriches and educates students, Davis said. Her time as a volunteer and MISD parent has led her to believe that students and teachers are being shortchanged by the decisions being made at Central Office and the current District 2 representation. County. Judge sides with county judge in DA's lawsuit by Caitlin Randall. The judge assigned to Midland County District Attorney Laura Nodoff's lawsuit against County Judge Terry Johnson has ruled in favor of Johnson, declaring state law does not set a deadline for filing the proposed county budget. Judge Stacy Trotter of Ector County's 158th District Court filed his final order on the case Wednesday morning. He found that the local government code does not set a deadline for when the county judge's proposed budget must be filed. It only mandates when the budget must be prepared, according to Trotter. This is a meaningful distinction and presumably indicative of the legislature's intent of refusing to impose a specific date, certain deadline to file a proposed budget, he wrote in his judgment. Nodoff filed a civil suit on August 5th, alleging Johnson failed in his duties as county judge by not filing a proposed county budget by the end of July. She requested that the budget be filed immediately with the county clerk and that the county judge be ordered to file the budget by July 31st in future years. Trotter ruled Nodoff's request for the budget to be filed immediately was moot because Johnson filed the budget on August 6th. He also denied her request for a court mandate setting a future filing deadline, citing his opinion that the local government code only requires a budget to be prepared in July. However, Trotter did acknowledge a concern stated in Nodoff's lawsuit about Midland County residents having adequate time to review the proposed budget before the commissioner's court adopts it. To allow residents sufficient time to review and address any potential budgetary concerns, Trotter ordered that a public budget hearing be held on September 21st. The commissioner's court had not yet set a date for a budget hearing before Trotter's ruling, but local government code states a hearing can occur any day after August 15th. In a statement provided by the Reporter-Telegram following Trotter's declaration, Johnson said the lawsuit was frivolous and petty and called on Nodoff to resign. Coronavirus. City. Midland may post best COVID week since mid-June. By Stuart Doreen. The number of confirmed coronavirus cases Wednesday again showed the promise of a community in collective recovery. The Midland Health Department reported 25 new confirmed cases on Wednesday. While the number was higher than the 5 reported Tuesday, the trend this week shows the numbers coming down from the spike earlier in the month and in July. Through 3 days this week, the health department shows 90 confirmed cases. The pace seems to put Midland County in position for its best week going back to June 21st through the 27th. Last week, there were 297 confirmed cases. Wednesday's new cases are reflective of lab results from Tuesday, according to the health department. The number of cases during the pandemic is closing in on 3,000, 2,978, through Wednesday. The health department also reported Wednesday that the number of Midland County residents self-isolating is greater than 1,000. The number exactly is 1,008. There were also 1,366 residents said to have recovered, an increase of 1 compared to Tuesday, 398 under investigation, and 145 unable to locate refused. On Wednesday, the City of Midland reported the 61st COVID-19-related death in Midland County. Health Department officials will be available at a press conference later this week to answer questions about the number of active cases and relatively lower number of recoveries. Coronavirus report. Cases Monday, 60. Cases Tuesday, 5. Cases Wednesday, 25. Total cases, 2,978. First day at Trinity and MIS Day. The caption reads above. Trinity school teacher Andrea Campos leads her first morning meeting of the school year. Preschool students meet every morning to greet each other, discuss what they are grateful for, and plan their day together. Wright, the daughter of Callie Reams, Emerson Elementary kindergarten teacher, attends school remotely while her mother teacher remotely teaches Wednesday. Wednesday was the first day of school. See more photos for both events online and on page 2A. Trinity photo, courtesy MISD, Trevor Hawes, MISD. Public libraries to extend hours for students. Library Connections offers services during virtual learning. From staff reports. Midland County Public Libraries is launching Library Connections, an initiative for students to spend time at the library as they begin the fall semester with virtual learning. MCPL will extend hours at both the Centennial and Downtown branches to allow students and their parents access to public computers, free Wi-Fi, digital resources, extended services, and the library's collections according to a press release. Both branches will open at 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. beginning Monday for kindergartners through 12th graders and their parents. Students 15 and younger must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. In addition to computer and internet access, the libraries will offer free printing services during Library Connections. Students may print up to 25 pages in black and white and up to 5 color pages at no cost. Proctoring services may be available by appointment only. Extending the reach of its services, each morning the library's bookmobile will offer free Wi-Fi, book and DVD checkouts, and library card signups at various locations around town, including Dennis the Menace Park, Washington Park, C.J. Kelly Park, and Casa de Amigos parking lot. The library is working with Midland ISD to get the bookmobile to school campuses according to the release. To make library connections as useful to the community as possible, the library encourages feedback from educators, students, and families who are navigating virtual learning. Any suggestions for future programs, questions, or comments may be sent to askalibrarian@co.midland.tx.us. "We want to know what you need," said Debbie Garza, director of Midland County Public Libraries, in the release. "What can the library do to help teachers in their virtual classrooms? What can we do to help students and families who may not be familiar with some of the educational platforms used? Whether it's doing some research to answer your questions or creating a how-to video, our staff wants to help. We want to offer students and educators the support necessary to succeed in virtual learning," she said. "We feel this is a time for the community to come together to help families, students, and teachers. The library can help by providing public computers, free internet, digital and print resources at both of our locations and out in the community with the bookmobiles. Students and their parents will be required to wear masks," said Megan Buck, the library's social impact and community engagement coordinator. She also said capacity likely will be increased to closer to 50%. "We'll have it posted on the doors. For the general public, hours remain 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday. McDonnell Observatory set to reopen August 28th. From staff reports. Fort Davis. The University of Texas at Austin's McDonnell Observatory is planning to reopen to the public on a limited basis beginning August 28th. The observatory's Frank N. Bash Visitor Center will resume public programs with a star party on that first night, according to a press release from the observatory. During the initial phase of reopening, all programs will require reservations made online at mcdonnellobservatory.org. Ticket sales for programs on August 28th and later will be available starting Monday. Visitors will be provided with scheduled entry tickets to allow time for cleaning between programs. Only outdoor programs will be held, and the number of participants will be limited to 25% of previous capacity. Visitors will drive their own vehicles to the summit of Mount Lockey for daytime guided tours. Shuttle transportation will not be provided. To ensure the safety of its visitors and staff, the observatory will take several additional steps. Packaged food and drinks will be available for purchase, but food will not be prepared on site. Frequently touched surfaces, such as door handles and tabletops, will be cleaned twice daily with bleach or alcohol-based solutions. Hand sanitizing stations will be provided. Public restrooms will be treated as single occupancy, and new signs will be posted reminding everyone of best hygiene practices. Two more MISD staffers test positive for virus. By Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD is reporting another two confirmed coronavirus cases since the middle of last week. The district showed confirmed cases at both Bowie Fine Arts Academy and Central Office last Friday. The two cases increased the total inside the district to 9 this month. Campuses impacted this month include Long Elementary, August 12th, Alamo Junior High, August 10th, Lee Freshman, San Jacinto Junior High, Midland High, and Bunch Elementary. The other confirmed cases involved another Central Office employee. In the cases this month, it was not necessary to close the campuses, according to the district. The district also reports there have been 40 confirmed cases involving a Midland IST staff member or employee during the pandemic. Midland ISD said that each notification triggers a series of steps, which includes sanitation and disinfecting, notification of individuals in close proximity, and notification to the health department. Anytime we become aware of an individual with a confirmed case who was present at a public gathering, such as a board meeting or a sporting event, we will also issue a press release. The district reported that the last time a confirmed case required a closure was July 29th, when there were two cases, staff members with Child Nutrition Services and the school plant. Midland ISD has set up a COVID-19 dashboard where the public can view cases that are reported to the district. There also are links to Midland ISD's COVID homepage, the Frequently Asked COVID Questions page, and the City of Midland's COVID page. Ector County ISD reported Tuesday night that there were two positive cases. One was a student at Permian High School, and the second was an employee at the New Tech Odessa building. The total number of cases since August 5th is now 21, according to ECISD. Midland cases this month: Long Elementary, Monday; Central Office, August 14th; Bowie Elementary, August 14th; Long Elementary, August 12th; Alamo Junior High, August 10th; Lee Freshman High, August 6th; San Jacinto Junior High, August 6th; Midland High, August 5th; Central Office, August 4th; Bush Elementary, August 4th. Last closures: Child Nutrition Services, July 29th; School Plant, July 29th. City: COVID death count reaches 61. By Stuart Doreen. The number of Midland County residents who have died because of coronavirus-related issues has increased to 20 this month, according to the City of Midland. The city reported Wednesday that a woman in her 80s died Tuesday. She was being treated at Midland Medical Lodge and had underlying health conditions. The woman's death is the seventh reported by the city this week. Dates of those deaths range from August 11th to Tuesday. The city reported that each person had underlying health conditions. She was the fourth person in her 80s among the seven. Reporter Telegram records show there have been 61 COVID-19 related deaths reported during the pandemic and 47 reported since the beginning of July. Deaths reported by week. July 5th through the 11th, four were reported. July 12th through the 18th, six. July 19th through 25th, 10. July 26th through August 1st, 7. August 2nd through the 8th, 7. August 9th through the 15th, 6. Monday through Wednesday, 7. Source is the Reporter Telegram Records.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, August 20, 2020. Nearing completion. The new Chris Davidson Opportunity Park was nearing completion Tuesday, with landscaping in, playground equipment set, and foam ground covering being installed around the playground areas. The 3.31-acre park, which will be accessible to children of all abilities, is adjacent to the Bush Tennis Center. For more information on the park, go to bushtenniscenter.org. Synergy to reopen today. Synergy Entertainment in Midland will be reopening today. Opening weekend movies will be Unhinged and Tax Collector, followed by New Mutants on August 28 and Tenant on September 3. There will be a limited menu and limited game floor, according to a press release. Private cinema buyouts are available. Love notes being collected for seniors. National Senior Citizen Day is Friday, and to mark the occasion, Senior Life Midland wants to distribute love notes to the homebound seniors who are served by Meals on Wheels. About 600 notes are needed, said Tracy Renton, development director for the nonprofit. Anyone who would like to participate may drop off notes at Senior Life, 3301 Sinclair Avenue, before Friday. A box will be placed near the doors. For more information, call 689-6693. Clinics offer coronavirus tests. Midland Memorial Hospital, 68 Nurse, midlandhealth.org. Mobile testing center at West Campus for COVID-19 nasal swab PCR. Must call for appointment. Antibody testing at West Campus or Main Campus Direct Access, 68 Nurse or 221-1111. Cash price for antibody testing, $50. Signature Care, 699-2601. ercare24.com/Midland. Cash price for COVID-19 nasal swab, PCR test, visit plus test, $175. Cash price for antibody test, visit plus test, $175. Cash price for both COVID-19 nasal swab, PCR, and antibody, $300. If patients are insured, we'll need to pay copay. Rest will be billed to insurance. Copay waived for first responders. West Tech's Urgent Care, 3401 Greenbrier Drive, 201-1403. WestTech'sUrgentCare.com. Cash price for virtual visit for COVID-19, $75. Cash price for nasal swab PCR test, $70. Cash price for COVID-19 antibody test, $50. All COVID-19 testing must begin with a virtual visit. Steward Medical Group COVID-19 testing. Swab tests by appointment only. Complete Care Midland, 1701 North Loop 250 West, Midland, 522-5033. When it's open, Midland County Public Library, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Curbside pickup at Downtown Branch, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. City updates watering schedule. The City of Midland has adjusted the watering schedule from 2 days a week to 4 days a week. Even-numbered addresses can water on Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Odd-numbered addresses can water on Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. The Utilities Department says residents should not overwater the lawn and should watch for puddles or runoff from sprinklers. Today in history. Today is Thursday, August 20, the 233rd day of 2020. There are 133 days left in the year. On this date, in 1953, the Soviet Union publicly acknowledged it had tested a hydrogen bomb. In 2017, actor, comic, and longtime telethon host Jerry Lewis died of heart disease in Las Vegas at the age of 91.
Opinion Extra. 5 new coronavirus cases in Midland. That's not a typo. 5 corona cases were reported on Tuesday. Was that a typo? I asked the city's public information officer that very question. She said that wasn't the case. I honestly can't remember what life was like when single-digit counts of coronavirus was the norm. I know it was just 2 months ago, but this whole pandemic feels like it has been with us for years. For the record, the first confirmed case of coronavirus involving a Midland County resident was on March 19th. As of Tuesday, 2,952 cases followed. For those keeping track, March 19 was more than the first day of spring, according to almanac.com. It was the day Governor Greg Abbott announced an executive order that limited social gathering to 10 people, prohibited eating and drinking at restaurants and bars while still allowing takeout, closed gyms, banned people from visiting nursing homes except for critical care, and temporarily closed schools. One day earlier, Mayor Patrick Payton, who was about 2 months into the job, issued a disaster declaration for Midland County. The declaration meant that gatherings for any event, common endeavor, or business operation would be limited to 50 people or less, except for certain circumstances. As it turned out, the week of March 19 was not a great week for oil. The price on March 18th for West Texas Intermediate fell $6.58 to $20.37. In retrospect, it could have been worse. Actually, it was much worse nearly 1 month later when the price dropped to a negative $37 a barrel. It was hard to think on March 19th what would happen next. The single-day reports of coronavirus cases greater than 100, the canceled events, the more than 60 deaths involving Midland County residents. Along with the metrics, there were limitations put on our lives, some of which are still existing. The inability to predict the future probably isn't much different than today, when you can see, for the first time in 2 months, actually count the number of new cases on one hand. We don't know how the opening of schools will impact the slide. We don't know what flu season will bring. We don't know when bars will reopen. We just don't know. My hope is that Midlanders act with caution, optimism of a pandemic loosening its grip on the community. My hope is they remain on guard by wearing their masks, practicing social distancing, and remain alert to the spread that could take place. One single-digit reporting day will not allow the bars to open, will not flip the switch to allow Midland ISD students on campus, and will not make some of your fellow Midlanders any more comfortable about being around others. But it does give many of us hope that the worst that the pandemic has to offer just might be over, and normal is again possible. And I, for one, welcome the thought of normalcy. Obituaries. Billy Joe Farrington. Billy Joe Farrington, 66, passed away at his home surrounded by his loved ones on August 16, 2020. Joe fought a tough fight as he has always done during his life, not one to give up easily. He has been fighting cancer for 4 long brave years, but this one he couldn't kick. Joe was born to Mary and Glendon Farrington, September 2, 1953, in La Mesa, Texas. He married Sarah Stone and had three children, Joe Chad Farrington, Stephen Eric Farrington, and Carrie Ann Garza. He is preceded in death by parents Mary and Glendon, brother Lewis, son Eric. Joe is survived by his wife, Mary Farrington, married May 30th, 1997. Son Chad and his wife, Mira, and daughter Carrie Ann Garza. Grandchildren, Joe Chad Farrington, Destiny Farrington, Brianna Pittman, and Kelsey Farrington. Nephews, Kenneth Farrington and family, and Corey Farrington. Numerous nieces, nephews, cousins, aunts, uncles, and many other family members. A funeral service will be held at Solid Rock Fellowship, 4601 I-20 in Midland, 1:30 p.m. with burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. Cole Wilson Stanley. Cole Wilson Stanley was born in Odessa, Texas, to Chad and Laura Stanley on March 26, 1997. He was raised in Midland and graduated from Midland High School in 2015. While attending Angelo State, Cole fell in love with Miss Shelby Freeman. She was his heart, and he was so excited to become her husband. They were married this October. Cole is preceded in death by his great-grandparents, Pearl and Jim Miller, Dwight McAllen, Roy Wilson, and Geneva Stanley, Edward Sparks, Royce and Eva Jean Chrysler, Eugene and Dorothy Fromm, grandfather Larry R. Chrysler, and Uncle Jeff Patterson. Cole is survived by his fiancée, Shelby Freeman, parents Chad Wilson and Laura Stanley, brother Coy Edward Stanley, sisters Catherine Miller and Carrie Jean Stanley, and nephew James Craig, all of Midland, Texas. He is also survived by his great-great-grandmothers, Catherine Sparks of Odessa and Billy McAllen of New Braunfels, Texas, grandparents Thomas Wilson and Kathy Stanley, Ronnie and Linda Miller, all of Midland. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Friday, August 21st, 2020, at Stonegate Fellowship in Midland, with Channing Chrysler officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Memorials may be given to Christian Outdoor Alliance, Midland High FFA, or Midland County 4-H. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Lena E. Tennert. Born on October 12, 1926, in Miles County, Texas, Lena was the daughter of the late Fritz A. Lippe and Anna Buffy Lippe. Lena went to her heavenly home Sunday morning, August 16, 2020. We are so blessed to have her as part of our lives for a wonderful 93 years. The day of her passing would have been her 71st wedding anniversary. So we like to think they are celebrating today with the angels free of the worldly suffering and pain. Lena was preceded in death by her husband, Emil B. Tennert, whom she met after World War II. They were married August 16, 1949, at Miles, Texas, the church where they met. She joined Grace Lutheran Church in 1949 and was a member until her death. She is survived by her children, John E. and Rebecca Tynert, Sharon K. Jerry Tull, and Elaine Susan Dan Sellers. 5 grandchildren, 4 great-grandchildren, sisters Katie Richards, Ruth and John Klecker, and many in-laws, nieces, and nephews who greatly loved her. Also preceded in death by her brothers John A. Lippe, Fritz A. Lippe, Ben H. Lippe, Martin W. Lippe, sisters Joe Ann Colson, Lydia L. Schulter, Velma A. Brittington, and Martha A. Holsom. A funeral service will be held Friday, August 21st, 2020 at 10 a.m. at Grace Lutheran Church in Midland, Texas, with a graveside to follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made to Grace Lutheran Church, 3000 West Golf Course Road, Midland, Texas, 79701. Naomi Chandler. Naomi Chandler, 92, of Midland, Texas, peacefully passed away Tuesday morning, August 18, 2020. She was born in San Saba County on January 28, 1928, to James and Maud Rainey, and raised in San Angelo, where she loved to climb her father's pecan trees. Naomi attended San Angelo State, where she met Vernon Chandler, her husband of 70 years. She went on to graduate from Hardin-Simmons University with a degree in English. Always an avid reader and learner, she later returned to school and graduated with a master's in clinical psychology from UTPB at the age of 60. Naomi and Vernon lived on a cotton farm south of Midland for almost 70 years, where they raised 4 children. Naomi is survived by her 4 children, Tracy Chandler and spouse Brenda of Deer Park, Texas, Brian Chandler and spouse Irma of Midland, Texas, Kyle Chandler of Midland, Texas, and Jimmy Chandler and spouse Valerie of Wimberley, Texas. 3 grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her husband Vernon Chandler, her parents James and Maudie Rainey, and her brother Jimmy Rainey. Due to the COVID-19 virus, a graveside service only will be held at Rest Haven Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas, at 11 a.m. Saturday, August 22nd, 2020. If you wish to send flowers, they will be accepted at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home, 2508 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas, 79705 through 4 p.m. Friday, August 21st. Anyone interested in attending the virtual funeral, please text your name to Tracy Chandler. Graveside service is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkin.com. Ralph Byron Miller, Jr. Ralph Byron Miller, Jr., 83, of Midland, passed away on Monday, August 17, 2020. A private service will take place on Friday, August 21, 2020, at 2 p.m. The service will be live-streamed at www.mpwelch.com. Ralph Bryan Miller Jr. was born December 2, 1936 to Ralph Bryan Miller Sr. and Louisa Vincent Irving Miller in Atlanta, Georgia. He was reared in Florida and Georgia and graduated from Savannah High School in Savannah, Georgia on June 9, 1954. In 1959, he received a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering from Georgia Institute of Technology in Atlanta, Georgia. He and Linda Ellen Armstead were married on May 26, 1962, in Barnesville, Georgia. They moved to Richardson, Texas, where he worked as an electrical engineer and an engineering manager at Texas Instruments. In 1981, he accepted a transfer to the Texas Instruments plant in Midland, Texas, where he worked until 1989 when he retired. He is survived by two daughters, Amy Desert of Eugene, Oregon, and Lucy Thames of Midland, and four grandchildren. He was preceded by his wife, parents, and his brother, James Irving Miller. After Linda's death, Ralph's significant other was Betty Rigney Couch. They both enjoyed volunteering, and through their common interest in genealogy, they discovered that Betty and Ralph are seventh cousins. They regularly attended College Classic at Midland College and took great delight in learning. The family requests that in lieu of flowers, memorials be directed to Midland County Foundation, 3600 North Garfield Street, Midland, Texas, 79705. Arrangements are under the direction of Natalie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.mpwelch.com. Death notices. Dana Gail Britton. Dana Gail Britton, 62, of Midland, passed from this life on August 17, 2020. She was born to Imogene Love and the late Duell Dean in Tulia, Texas, on June 28, 1958. She is survived by her husband, Perry Britton, children, Justin Britton and Ashley Kendrick, mother, Irma Jean, and one sibling. A memorial service will be held Thursday, August 20th, 2020, 5 p.m. at One Hope Church of Christ in Midland. Lonnie Waymond Wilson. Lonnie Waymond Wilson, 80, of Midland, passed from this life on August 14, 2020, in Midland. He was born to the late Hattie and Willie Wilson in Odell, Texas, February 5, 1940. He is survived by his wife, Betty J. Wilson, four sons, one daughter, and one sibling. Funeral services will be held Thursday, August 20th, 2020, 10 a.m. at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Midland, with a burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland. Marcella Martin. Marcella Martin passed away on August 18, 2020, at the age of 83. The family will receive friends from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday, August 21, 2020, at Natalie Pickle and Wells Funeral Home in Midland. Marcella will be laid to rest near her mother and father at La Mesa Memorial Park Cemetery in La Mesa, Texas, on Saturday, August 22, 2020, at 10 a.m. She is survived by her husband, Tom Martin, and her sons, Craig Dunn, Brian Dunn, and Joel Dunn. Arrangements are under the direction of Natalie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Paul Price. Paul Price, 58, of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, August 18, 2020. The family will receive friends from 5 to 7 p.m. on Friday, August 21, 2020, at Natalie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. A funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, August 22, 2020, at Greenwood Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Greenwood Baptist Cemetery. Paul is survived by his wife, Barbara, and their children, Elizabeth, Seth, and James. Santa Maria Gonzalez. Santa Maria Gonzalez, 87, of Midland, Texas, passed away Saturday, August 15, 2020. Viewing will be held at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel, 2508 North Big Spring Street, on Thursday, August 20, 2020, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary starting at 7 p.m., Thursday evening. Funeral Mass is set for Friday, August 21st, 2020 at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. She is survived by many, many nieces, nephews, cousins, and very close friends she considered to be a part of her family. Wanda Louise Ely. Wanda Louise Ely, 77, of Midland, passed from this life August 14, 2020, in Midland. She was born to the late Henry and Mabel Ely in Brownsville, Texas, on April 11, 1943. She is survived by her son, Corby Daniel, daughters, Rosanna Townsend, Melissa Townsend, and Karen Lawson, two brothers and seven grandchildren. There are no services scheduled at this time. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Thursday, August 20th, 2020. Front page. Stanley named to ECISD seat, OA News at OAOA.com. The photo shows University of Texas Permian Basin Associate Professor of Art Chris Stanley talks to a visitor while throwing bowls in his studio in the Charles A. Sorber Visual Arts Building. Mark Rogers, Odessa American. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees chose University of Texas Permian Basin Associate Professor of Art Chris Stanley as the new Position 4 board member Tuesday night. Along with Stanley, candidates included Jesse Christensen and Michaela Johnson. Jacqueline Loud withdrew. Trustees interviewed the candidates in closed session before coming into open session to vote. Board member Nelson Minyard attended virtually. Stanley will replace Doyle Woodall, who resigned from the board in June after some found his social media posts offensive. I'm humbled and honored, and I will do everything I can to live up to the confidence of the board, Stanley said. He will fill Woodall's term until the next election in May 2021. Board President Delma Abalos said she wanted to thank everyone. It's a hard process being interviewed. It is not an easy task. The big thing is that we had three really good candidates, so it's a hard decision to have made, but more than anything, we want to thank you all for applying, Abalos said. She added that they could only choose one person, but come election time, everybody can run. Superintendent Scott Murray presented an update on the opening of school. On the first day of school, enrollment was 23,067, with 4,200 kids attending in person and 779 calls made to the ECISD Technology Help Desk. After 5 days, enrollment stands at 30,465, and more than 4,700 students are attending in person, about 14%, and nearly 3,800 calls to the Technology Help Desk were made, the board recap said. Murray said the average attendance is 94%. Murray showed pictures from classrooms around the district that highlighted distancing between desks and cleaning done by the custodial teams. Dividers have been placed on some desks to separate students, and some are using hula hoops to create their individual environment. Phase 2 for students to return to school in person on August 26th, and Phase 3 is on schedule for September 1st. Information on the district's back-to-school plans may be found at www.ectorcountyisd.org/back-to-school. In terms of teachers, Murray said ECISD is in much better shape than it was last year when there were 350 vacancies. Students in grades 4 through 12 are required to wear masks, except when eating or outside. Teachers are required to wear face masks, except when they are eating or teaching virtually. But they must wear face masks and face shields when they are physically with students. Teachers are adapting really well to this environment, Murray said, but it's hard work, and teachers have spent time over the summer learning how to adapt their craft and skills. Murray said the custodial crews and maintenance staff have been incredibly busy cleaning things more frequently than they have before. Phase 2 is scheduled to start August 26th, and almost 3,000 students are expected. Phase 3 is scheduled for September 1st, and Phase 4 for September 8th. Murray said the district will notify families 2 weeks in advance if a phase is staying the same or changing. The end of Phase 4 is the first chance parents have to decide if they want to change their child's education option. From that day forward, Murray said, parents can make a different decision at the end of every grading period. At the elementary level, about 53% of families chose face-to-face learning and 47% virtual. For high school, 45% of families chose face-to-face learning and about 55% virtual. Across the system, Murray said the split was about 50-50. Murray said principals and support staff are on the phone trying to find students who have not yet enrolled. The ECISD Police Department also is conducting welfare checks. Our goal is to make contact with every child that we're supposed to be serving, Murray said. In his opening comments, Murray announced that earlier in the day, district leaders learned ECISD's application for that teacher incentive allotment has been accepted. The TIA provides additional, potentially significant compensation to highly effective teachers whose students show measurable improvement in academic growth. Murray said this will be a data gathering year, and in 2021-22, teachers will be eligible for the pay. ECISD is one of 47 school districts in Texas that applied for TIA this spring, the recap said. The board also voted 6-0 to approve purchases over $50,000. The three items on this list are emergency personal protective equipment, PPE, ordered for ECISD staff members, and agreement with Region 18 Education Service Center to consult on the new Texas Reading Academies, and a contract with Public Impact LLC to partner with ECISD on opportunity culture implementation. For more information, visit https://www.ectorcountyisd.org/domain908. Voted 6-0 to approve budget amendment number 2, The largest part of this budget amendment is for Chromebooks, iPads, and MiFi internet hotspots for students and families. It also includes construction of a fiber network throughout the district, the recap said. Voted 6-0 to approve a Texas Education Agency waiver from the annual financial report due date requirements for fiscal year 2019-20.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.